Well, good morning, First Free, and those who might be tuning in who are not a part of this church, remote parts of Canada perhaps. Welcome this morning as we gather together to worship Jesus. We're glad that you're here with us, and I'm very excited to celebrate Christmas with you this season, Advent season that we have together. It is a beautiful and a worshipful time, especially for those who've trusted in Jesus Christ. So that's what we're going to do this morning as we continue to look at the Gospel of Luke. And so that's where we're going to be pulling our passage from this morning and all throughout Advent leading up to Christmas Eve when we'll celebrate the birth of the Savior. Well, when I was still a child and we went to church during the season of Advent, it was my favorite time of the church year. I just absolutely love that time. And I especially loved it because we began singing Christmas music during Sunday worship. Silent Night, Joy to the World, O Come, Emmanuel. And I'll bet there are many kids in this congregation or many kids who maybe are watching online right now who love to hear those songs sung as well. You see, I thought these songs were the best songs that the church had to offer. They ushered limitless possibilities into my young imagination. They stirred up images of idyllic Christmas gatherings with friends and family members, of long breaks from school with lots of new toys to enjoy, of big festive meals complete with my favorite sweets to eat. They inspired future hopes in me and my siblings and all of my friends at school. Even you old codgers out there, you can channel this feeling again. I know you know what I'm talking about when such carols brought to mind all the joys this world had to offer and inspired these thoughts in you. Well, I still love to sing these old Christmas hymns. I still think they're some of the best songs that the church has to offer. Yet I feel this way for far different reasons than I did when I was a young man. I no longer expect gatherings with family and friends to be ideal. In fact, I'm pretty happy when they come off without any major drama. I know how long toys and vacations last, and I know that they cannot bring enduring joy to me. They will get old. They will end. The toys will break. And as far as festive meals and favorite sweets are concerned, right now they're more a risk to be managed for me. Because if I eat too many of them, I won't sleep through the night. And if I eat too many of them throughout the holidays, I'm going to need a whole new wardrobe after it's all over. Now, I know that these things that I used to get excited about and dreamed about, that they're not all that they're cracked up to be now. The same songs, but two very different perspectives, two very different Jasons, two very different me's associated with the songs, and that makes all the difference. The same songs, and yet they're completely changed. They're completely different. To me, the young Jason and the old Jason see them differently, hear them differently, and sing them differently. Today we're going to consider the first Christmas carol. I wonder if you've ever thought about the song that Mary sings in that way, the first Christmas carol. It's the song that Mary sings when she visits her cousin Elizabeth. And if we really want to understand this song, we need to consider the two very different perspectives represented in this song, the two Marys who both sang it. So let's read the text and meet these two Marys this morning, the two Marys represented in this one Christmas carol, the first Christmas carol. Let me read Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 39. You follow along in your Bibles or just listen to me as I read it. Here's the word of God as it's recorded in Luke chapter 1, verse 39 and on. Luke writes, "At that time Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." And Mary said, or you might say Mary sang, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him. From generation to generation, he has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God for it. And I'll invite you now to pray with me before we begin to dig into God's word together. Will you bow your heads? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this song that Mary sings, this first Christmas carol. And we ask right now that you would use our minds and our hearts to help us comprehend and feel what's taking place in this song, and to meet the song at two different perspectives, to meet the song with two different Marys in mind. And we pray these things for your glory and in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I've said that we have two Marys who are represented here. And in a sense, I'm not just being provocative. There really are two Marys who are represented in this song. There is the Mary who would have, with Elizabeth that day, sung this song originally. She is young. She's betrothed to Joseph. She is the Virgin Mary. She's probably 12 or 13 years old. So really, in our minds, very young. That's our first Mary. However, as I already pointed out a couple weeks ago, Luke is writing a history. Luke is a historian. He's writing a history. He wrote this account in the early to mid-60s A.D., he'd have encountered this story and its song through some of his interviews he did. He did lots of research and interviewed lots of people. And so he would have received this song through those interviews and probably, I think, even through an interview with Mary during the final few years of her earthly life. In other words, in one way or another, Luke would have received these events, Mary's stay with Elizabeth and the song that she was inspired to sing, from the perspective of an older Mary, a woman who had lived to see what the song would really mean for her, how it would really play out in her life. And that's our second Mary, the older Mary, the mother Mary. So those are the two Marys singing, the young virgin, the old mother, and we can learn a lot by considering both of their perspectives as they sing the very same song. So that's what we're going to do this morning. Let's look first at young Mary as she sings. Our text this morning begins with a prophetic word from Elizabeth. Mary no sooner walks into the room than she's greeted by this older family member with honor and praise. Now we know this is a prophetic word from Elizabeth because Luke highlights that Elizabeth was, quote, filled with the Holy Spirit as she spoke. That's verse 41 of today's text. He highlights that this is a prophetic word from Elizabeth, inspired by the Holy Spirit. This is what she says, Luke tells us, loudly. So there's much excitement in Elizabeth as she sings out this prophetic word. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord would come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb, and remember, Elizabeth also is pregnant in her old age, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. Elizabeth has experienced the miracle of her pregnancy in her old age with John the Baptist. And she is singing out because she recognizes that God has done something even greater in Mary. I remember being a high school freshman, so around, honestly, the same age that Mary is in this passage, and having a senior on the soccer team come up to me during two-a-day soccer practices and compliment me, saying to me, you know, you're pretty good at soccer. I think you have a lot to offer our team. And his compliment, his encouragement, it meant so much to me as a freshman. And he wasn't even inspired, obviously, or filled with the Holy Spirit when he said it, but it encouraged me nonetheless. I remember thinking more of myself as a soccer player, a kindled confidence of good things to come, of a future that I had in soccer, of possible successes that I would encounter. That's why I can still recall that encouragement, because this older senior's encouragement to me meant so much. So it is with Elizabeth's encouragement to Mary here. Here is a much older woman in a culture which honored and respected and venerated their elders, giving honor and respect and veneration to this young woman, Mary. This is a high compliment, a high praise for Mary, the kind of stuff which would kindle thoughts of a great future in this young virgin with child. Just consider the content of the prophetic encouragement that Elizabeth speaks. Verse 42, Mary is blessed among women. Now, pause for a second and consider that. That's a pretty inclusive category. Nearly half of the population, right? All women. And she's blessed among them. You could even go further. Blessed in the history of all women. That's a big-time compliment. And not only is she blessed, but in the same verse, the son she bears is also blessed, Elizabeth says. God's favor is upon them both the virgin with child and the baby in her womb. Not only, though, is Mary's child blessed, but he is Lord, verse 43. Now, our modern minds think, oh, he is God. But that's not likely what Elizabeth meant. What she's saying here to Mary, and what Mary would have understood her to say, is that Jesus is Israel's promised Messiah. He is the king that God promised for the salvation of his people. This is no one less in her womb than the son of David who was prophesied to come, that Israel had long been waiting for. So as you can see, this is quite a compliment, isn't it? This is a great prophetic praise for this young girl, and it brings an inspired song to Mary's lips. Mary's first Christmas carol comes because of the praise of Elizabeth, this prophetic word. And this first Christmas carol is both specific to Mary and then more generally for all of those who have longed for the Messiah. So verse 47, 48, and 49, specific, personal to Mary, and then verse 50 to 55 is for all those who've longed for the Messiah. Yet let's not miss out, Mary is an Israelite. She has longed for the Messiah. So all of this song that she sings is really applied to her. It's all her future. These are things she's been dreaming of. I wonder where your thoughts would be if you were Mary when she sings this song in her youth. If you were singing this, if you were in her shoes, how would you imagine the prophetic future before you in this song? You got to be honest about it. You got to think deeply. You got to channel perhaps your younger self, the dreams you had when you were young. Mary says that she glorifies the Lord and rejoices in God as her Savior, verse 47 and 48. As she does this, what is she thinking about? What would you be thinking of? Many future prophetic honors like the one that Elizabeth has just pronounced over her? Maybe future honors like that from the mouths of more prominent people even? You're thinking about glory for yourself. No more backwater town living for me. At least that's what I would be thinking of if I were Mary. Mary sings that, quote, all generations will call her blessed, verse 48. In what way will they call her blessed? What do you think about when you think about being blessed in the future? What kind of things come to mind? Great wealth? Great success, great appreciation. That's what I think about when I think about being blessed. People are going to know my name. I'm going to be famous. Friends, we could go through this song and pretty accurately, I think, fill in the hopes and dreams Mary would have likely had as she sang it in her youth. Dreams of glory, dreams of prominence, dreams of honor, dreams of fame, dreams of conquest, dreams of romance, dreams of wealth, dreams we'd all have had. Because you see, these aren't Mary dreams. These are human dreams. We all naturally dream of blessings and glories in this way. In fact, as Jesus walked the earth during his earthly ministry, as Israel's promised Messiah, what he often had to do was put to death these kinds of dreams in the people who came to him, looking to him as the Messiah. They dreamed of all kinds of things, but they were largely not the things that were true of Jesus as Israel's promised Messiah. The Messiah will be a conquering king. No, the Messiah will be the Prince of Peace. The Messiah will unite Israel and be exalted by the people. No, he will divide people and ultimately be mocked by many of them. The Messiah will live and be blessed and be served by all. No, he will die and be cursed as the suffering servant of all. Constantly, Jesus had to put the dreams of the people to death about what the Messiah would do for them, how glorious it would be for them, what it really meant to serve God. Friends, I wonder, what does being blessed by God look like for you? What does being blessed look like for you? Being successful at work, making a lot of money, having children who attend Ivy League schools, retiring to Florida or California or Colorado at the age of 50, what does it look like for you? And is it possible that Mary's life might challenge that vision, might challenge those dreams? I think we'll only see that it does or it doesn't by looking at the older Mary here, our second Mary. And looking at the song that old Mary sings. So imagine for a moment that you're the historian, you're Luke, and you just arranged the interview of all interviews for your research project. You've talked to a number of people who knew Jesus. Those were good interviews. You really appreciated getting to talk to these people who knew Jesus. You even talked to some of the apostles, people who put their shoulder to the ministry with Jesus. And those were excellent interviews to get. But now you've got the best one of all. Now you have Jesus's mother as an interview. You are going to interview Mary. This is the best possible source. You're going to get a from birth to ascension history of the Christ from his mother. You'd be super excited if you were Luke. You'd be like, this is it. This is my silver bullet for all the research I'm doing. Now imagine you're Mary. What would you want to share with this historian who's coming to you? Or more specifically, would you want to share this song? And if you would want to share this song, why? Why in your old age would you still want to share it? What would this song communicate after all that has happened to you? Think for a second. Mary's in that room with Elizabeth. She sings this song. What's next? After Mary leaves Elizabeth's house, she will begin to learn what the salvation and blessing of God really entails. She will find herself very pregnant, riding upon a donkey to a faraway town simply because a foreign emperor has decided to conduct a census. People all inconvenienced, a pregnant woman on a donkey, inconvenienced, going to give birth someplace that's foreign to her, all because of the whims of a king. She'll find herself giving birth in a stable since that same small town is overcrowded with people because of the census. There's no room in any inn for her. And later, as they take Jesus to the temple, as faithful Israelites would have taken their children to the temple, their firstborn to the temple, she will be amazed at the prophecy that Simeon speaks over this child, except that that prophecy will speak of divisions because of this child and the suffering of many prominent people in Israel. And guess what else Simeon will say? Some of that suffering, some of that division, it's going to happen to you too, Mary. Luke chapter 2, verse 35. You can go read about Simeon's prophecy there. Oh, she learns about salvation and blessing as it comes when you follow the Lord. Mary will learn that being mother to the Christ will always bring her virtue into question. Was Joseph really Jesus' father? Matthew chapter 1, Mark chapter 6. Mary will learn that her firstborn son must first and foremost be her, not be her son, but be her Lord and her Savior, her God. John chapter 2, Matthew chapter 12. Mary will learn that salvation because of sin, and not just the sin of those people out there, but salvation from her very own sins will put to death her firstborn son, will require his very life, and she will have to witness it with her own eyes. John chapter 19. Friends, this has been Mary's story since the day she first sang that song. So let me ask, would you still feel that this first Christmas carol was true? Would you still believe you were blessed? Would you still think that it was an honor to bear the Christ? Would you have shared this song with the historian, Luke? Why did Mary share it? Why do we have it? Why did she feel that this song still applied to her in her old age? Why did she still sing it? The answer is because it did still apply, but from a completely different perspective, in a completely different way than she could ever have imagined in her youth. The answer is because she now knows that her dreams of blessing, honor, and glory were not big enough. In fact, they were far too small, too weak, too limited. Mary hasn't simply seen the death of her son, but also the resurrection of the Son of God. Mary hasn't merely witnessed the Christ descending in a miraculous virgin birth, but she's witnessed the Christ ascending as King of all the earth, as King of all creation. Brothers and sisters, Mary still sings because God is the God of redemptions, redemptions which erase pain, redemptions which erase suffering and hardship. Mary still sings because she knows God's redemption. Mary still sings because she knows God's Redeemer, Jesus Christ. And that is the greatest of all blessings. That's, in fact, what it means to be blessed. Salvation, real glory. One pastor puts knowing Jesus in this way, what he did, what he accomplished, and what it does for those who know him in these words. He writes, Jesus lost all his glory so that we could be clothed in it. He was shut out so we could get access. He was bound, nailed, so that we could be free. He was cast out so we could approach. And Jesus took away the only kind of suffering that can really destroy you. That is being cast away from God. He took that so that now all suffering that comes into your life will only make you great. The suffering of a person in Christ only turns you into somebody gorgeous, beautiful. Mary's song has only become more gorgeous, more beautiful over the course of her calling as the mother of the Christ. Now, I would have loved to have been there in that room when this older Mary, this seasoned and wise Mary, sat with Luke and sang this song to him. I would have loved to have heard it. Oh, how much more glorious and beautiful and deep was that song after all of her experiences throughout the entire life and ministry of this firstborn child. How beautiful it would have sounded. Can you hear her voice still singing it? My soul glorifies the Lord. And my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. Mary knew her Redeemer, and she watched him rise in conquest over death for her. And she now knows what true blessing is, what true glory is, and what it is to have true hope. And so she sings this song still. Can you sing it with her? Can you sing with the Blessed Virgin Mary this glorious song about God's salvation in Christ Jesus? I hope that you can this season. In the midst of pandemic, in the midst of all the suffering this world has to offer, we in Christ have hope of a resurrection and a life eternal. Amen. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this song. We thank you for the two Marys who sing it. We thank you for her faithfulness in sharing it with Luke as he's writing his history so that we could share in this song with her. And may we be a people who allow all that we encounter, all the difficulties of this fallen world life, to not make us ugly, but to make us gorgeous as we cling to Christ Jesus and look to the future that we have and trust in your redemptive purposes. It is in Jesus' name that we